40 years ago, the U.S. and the Soviet Union came to the brink of nuclear war during the Cuban Missile Crisis. Though the Soviets backed down, removing their warheads from the island, they began moving their people in growing numbers. Over three decades, hundreds of thousands of Russians lived and worked in Cuba. Today, only about 1,500 remain. The vast majority, as NPR's Jerry Haddon reports, are women who came and stayed for love.
In 1964, Ketty Powatsa, a young student from the Republic of Georgia, came to Cuba enamored of socialism and of a young Cuban student she'd met in Moscow. The retired psychologist now lives alone in a quiet and spare Havana apartment. As a tropical storm lashes her high wooden shutters, she marvels at the passage of time.
Quería estar cerrándome los ojos.
I just wanted to close my eyes to all the things that were difficult in Cuba. I had to in order to help with this new society. For many, to be here was like sliding backwards in time. The level of theater, science, culture, all was lower. And for me, this was a tragedy. However, my goal was not to find a better standard of living.
So few and dispersed are the former Soviets on this island of 11 million people that until recently, Powatsa believed she was the only Georgian left. There are, in fact, three. During the Cold War, hundreds of thousands of Soviets came to Cuba as advisors, translators, students, and workers. When the Iron Curtain fell in 1989, the exodus was dramatic. Listening to Georgian music on a small tape player, Powatsa says relatives still call from Georgia, where they've prospered since the end of socialism, and urge her to come home.
Money never controlled my life. My view was to do the best I can and let the rest do for me as they can. In an integrated society like this one, for example, I never had to think about whether the water was clean. Those who cleaned the water simply did their job, and I had to do my own work well.
The work of Cuba's longtime communist allies here is now all but over. Weeks ago, the Russians abandoned their last military listening post. The base will soon reopen as a computer university. Today, ordinary Cubans have little to remind them of their Soviet colleagues, besides the hundreds of tiny Russian-built cars called Ladas that still trundle along the roads. Roberto Perez is an auto mechanic from Havana. He says he barely knew any Soviets and barely remembers them. They were tremendous workers, animals, he says. People liked them because they were polite, they weren't drunks in public. No problems. They had their parties, we had ours. A retired housewife named Lena concurs. Did I have them as friends? No, she says. But you'd bump into them in the market and they were nice people. Now I see very few, she adds. I don't know what happened. The majority of Soviets were housed apart from Cuban society. The relationship was at its heart political, and when the economic support disappeared, so did the people. At Russia's imposing Cold War concrete embassy in Havana, Consul Vladimir Sprinchin says Russia's rich culture never penetrated Cuban society.
We couldn't say the Soviet Union left any cultural influence on Cuba, in part because Cuba has its own culture, deeply influenced by Spain, Africa, and Latin America.
In Havana, a small group of former Soviets, all women, run a club to keep their roots alive. At weekly gatherings in living rooms, they recite poetry and sing songs. Their leader is Russian Natasha Bolashova, known affectionately as the Bolshevik. Bolashova, a retired school teacher and mother of three, came to Cuba 32 years ago.
The tragedy almost made me physically sick when the Soviet Union collapsed. I don't know if you can understand being from the States. Imagine if your country suddenly disappeared. With time, I've gotten over it. and accepted the new reality. Now we're trapped here. It's true, but trapped by love. Love for our husbands. We've never felt like foreigners here.
We arrived married, chimes in Cossack housewife Natalia, and we carry on marrying Cubans, and marrying, she says. I'm going for number three officially, that is. Still, the women suffer nostalgia, and so they sing sometimes tragic folk songs like this one about a woman in the form of a bush reaching her branches toward a sailing ship carrying her loved ones to war. Lest their neighbors think they're always down, the women formed a chorus that performs in public. At a recent rehearsal, 16 women representing 5 former Soviet states sing and dance to a 19th century Russian folk song, lauding the beauty of a blue river against a green plain. These women say their Cuban-born children prefer local rap music and American pop. Few speak their mother's native tongues, and few are trying to learn. When the older generation passes on, almost nothing will remain of the Soviet Union's historic presence in Cuba. The Georgian Keti Powatsa, aware she is among the final flickers of the Soviet flame, takes heart in an epic 19th century Georgian poem, a poem she learned as a child. Let no one complain of having no kin close by, nor that they've been orphaned. Only if they find themselves spiritually bereft, then they should complain. Jerry Haddon, NPR News, Havana.